Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Hi, Glenn Kirshner. Hi.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning. I'm wearing my sexy liberal shirt because I'm so excited to see you September 10th. Yeah. Sexy Liberal DC on panel. I can't stand it.
Okay. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Me too. So, wow, a lot to break down here. So let's talk about this, the judge ordering portions of the Mar-a-Lago search affidavit to be unsealed. My first instinct would be you don't unseal anything during an ongoing investigation, but break down for us what you're thinking about this, because it's the government gets to make redactions. They tell up to a certain date. The judge will review it. Give us your breakdown of this.
I think he had all us former feds fooled, because we kind of thought this would be an easy call for the judge. He would hear arguments that, you know, releasing any of this information would interfere with an ongoing investigation, would impact national security matters, would endanger the lives of witnesses and discourage other witnesses from cooperating. But you know what? Upon reflection, one thing we have to keep in mind, this hearing yesterday was not Donald Trump versus the Department of Justice. This hearing was the Fourth Estate, the news organizations, the media saying, we believe this is so important and historic, and there is a need for at least some transparency. The public needs to know at least a little bit of the misconduct of Donald Trump that led to these search warrants being executed, that it was the media that was moving to have this stuff unsealed. And the prosecution trotted out the same old line that I've trotted out many times. You know what? Ongoing investigation, judge. The judge said, well, I hear you, but what I want from you are proposed redactions, because I'd like to see you take a first crack at redacting out all the stuff that might interfere with your investigation, but showing to the public all the stuff that doesn't. And Steph, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't. For example, we know Department of Justice officials, national security officials went to Mar-a-Lago, and Trump and company swore up and down, you got it all, you got everything, we've given it to you. Yeah. Turned out that was a flat out lie. So they had to get a search warrant. Those things are known to the public. So some of that information, I think, actually can be disclosed without injuring the ongoing investigation.
Because that's obstruction, right? I mean, that's the other charge now on top of the...
Absolutely. It's one of the charges in the warrant.
Yeah. So, okay. He said, on my initial careful review, there are portions of it that can be unsealed. He said he would give the government a full and fair opportunity to make redactions, ordered them redacted version by next Thursday, right? He would then review the document, either order its release if he agrees with the redaction or has a closed-door meeting. He said, obviously, I'd win that argument if they can't agree, but he'd allow the government time to appeal his ruling. The DOJ official said the detailed and reasonable lengthy document needed to be kept completely under wraps because it contains substantial grand jury information in a unique case with national security overtones. He said the government is very concerned about the safety of the witnesses in the case whose identities could become compromised if the affidavit is released. Wouldn't that be your major concern? Is that what Trump would want? How can I, you know, chill these witnesses and future ones, right?
It would be my major concern, and protecting witnesses and sources and methods was always my major concern during an ongoing investigation. Let me say, the top DOJ official who argued this, Jay Bratt, somebody I've known for decades, we worked together at the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, He's a good, honorable, ethical man, and I think we'll be well served by having him take point on this. But here's the other thing. When we put these affidavits together, when the FBI agents put them together, we review them and approve them. We never do name witnesses. What we do is we refer to witnesses as W1, W2, W3. If it's a cooperating witness, we call them CW1, CW2. If it's a victim, we call them V1, V2. So on the one hand, we wouldn't even be disclosing the names because the names aren't in the affidavit. But, Steph, if it says something like, you know, CW1, who was a close personal assistant to Donald Trump, I mean, you can start to feel like, oh, CW1 might be Mark Meadows, somebody that they can identify. I'm not saying Meadows is a signed up cooperator, but though that's the danger of disclosing this, because if they can figure out who the witnesses are, then they can tamper with the witnesses.
Right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We mentioned earlier, Glenn, that 18 former Trump officials tell CNN his standing order of declassification was, and I quote, bull, which I think is a legal term, but it was bull. Literally, that's what they said. You've also, I think, said to us that part of that doesn't even matter, that obviously Trump seems to think this, like, exonerates him somehow, but that's not even the major charge, is it?
Yeah, you know, Donald Trump only opens his mouth to lie or incriminate himself these days. And so there are two points with respect to this claim that I had a standing declassification order. First of all, that's not how it works.
Right.
But second, did you see that Trump released a declassification order from years ago for, I think, the Fast and Furious, which was an DOJ operation?
I think it was
Crossfire
Hurricane.
You know what that showed?
Wasn't it Crossfire Hurricane? Because
Crossfire Hurricane, not the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Right.
And what that showed was there is a process involved in formally declassifying stuff. Trump knew it, and he followed the process years ago.
Right.
So he's always playing against himself when he tries to offer the explanation du jour.
Yeah. John Kelly said nothing approaching an order that foolish was ever given, and I can't imagine that it worked at the White House after me would have simply shrugged their shoulders and allowed that order to go forward without dying in a ditch to try to stop it. Mick Mulvaney, John Bolton, Olivia Troy all said the same thing. Another senior official laughed and said it's ridiculous, said Jamie Gangle at CNN, and very, very... senior Trump administration official called it bull. And there were a few other words.
And Seth, the other point you made that I didn't pick up on is with respect to the three crimes that are included in the search warrant, I call them charges. They're not charges. Those are the crimes that are being investigated. None of those three require classification of those documents. So the whole, did he declassify, did he not declassify, is a complete non-issue with respect to the search warrant that was conducted.
Yeah, exactly. So 9 days after the Mar-a-Lago search, FBI agents are still sifting through the Trump documents. It's the filter team, correct? The filter team is tasked with separating out documents that are covered by attorney-client privilege, material deemed not relevant to the probe. Obviously, they turn over relevant documents to investigating agents and then give the rest back to Trump. The officials say they're checking to see whether any of the documents or other materials not marked classified include classified information. So how long, just curious, is this expected to take? the rest of this.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Steph. When I was a member of a taint team, a filter team, it was not fun duty, but we all had to do it because prosecutors get involved in that as well. And we put up a wall between the filter team and then the prosecutors and the agents who are handling the investigation. And we have to go through in really meticulous and somewhat tedious fashion a review of every piece of evidence to see if any of it might enjoy some privilege such that it shouldn't be part of the criminal investigation. Sometimes we will then submit it to the judge if we have an open question about whether it enjoys a privilege or not, and we let the judge make the decision. So we're kind of bulletproof in whatever decision we reach. That can take days, weeks, on the outside, months, depending on how much material was seized and the nature of the material seized. But that's not something that we do quickly, casually, or cavalierly.
Yeah. Okay. So let's turn quick. Oh, first of all, well, let's go to Georgia first, because you had tweeted the precise definition of target and why Rudy Giuliani is destined for an indictment. That's the other thing we're hearing, even from a close associate of his. I kind of love that all these figures in right-wing world are saying it is inevitable Trump and Giuliani are going to be indicted. So Rudy obviously got a target letter, as he said, right?
And a target letter, if the definition of a target is a person that the prosecutor has substantial evidence against linking him to the commission of the crime and somebody who the prosecutor intends to indict. It's that two-part test. So Rudy being a target, when we give somebody a target letter, it serves two purposes. One, it says this may be your last chance, sport, to cooperate because we're intending to indict you. And two, you need to know you're a target so you can go into the grand jury. And if you choose, invoke your Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination because we intend to indict you. Rudy was in there for several hours. I have a feeling there were tons of invocation of privileges and probably lots of, you know, rambling and misdirection. And when Rudy was asked about it, I don't think he said whether he had pled the Fifth or not, but we'll probably hear about that at some point.
Glenn, did you happen to watch, I believe it was Ari Melber's show yesterday? It was a former, I think, a friend of Giuliani. I just found it so disturbing, but he was talking about, you know, talking to Giuliani, and he went off on his usual, like, you know, election fraud rant, and the guy just said, Rudy, you know none of that's true, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he said, he told this disturbing story that Rudy winked at him. Like, as if, you know, I don't know the whole full context of the conversation, but that he knew it was bull.
Yeah.
And but, you know, Glenn, it's not funny. People have died. Half of this country doesn't believe in our election integrity. Like, that Rudy knows this is a big joke and he's in on it is just astounding.
And two things. First of all, that gentleman who was on with Ari should go right into the grand jury and testify about that. Yeah. And then second, not only have people died, but we have these sick, despicable Republicans who are saying the FBI is coming for you. IRS agents are coming to you with AR-15s and they're going to kill small businessmen. Yeah. And this kind of inciting violence is insane. And I think the Department of Justice has to set aside its timidity with respect to being accused of trampling on somebody's First Amendment rights. And they have to start addressing this speech that is designed to incite imminent violence because it doesn't enjoy First Amendment protection. And more people are going to get hurt.
Yeah. Because I guess that's the big question, like, what happened to Rudy? Like, that he used to have a soul, he used to this, that. It really is insane what people have done for this criminal.
I don't know that he ever had a soul, and I think, I hate to say that 9/11 revived him because he was on his way out because he had, you know, there were other shenanigans going on, I think he was in the right place at the right time, and rode a wave that he didn't deserve to catch in the first place.
I was in New York for 9/11, Glenn, and I thought the same thing. Like, all of us were in New York, knew he put the command center, you know, in the World Trade Center when he was told not to. That, you know, the whole controversy about police and fire radios being able to coordinate. I mean, that was my feeling at that time. Is I'm like, oh, he's just the guy that got his face on camera the most when we were all traumatized. And we were
looking for comfort. Yeah. We were in need of heroes, whether they were heroic or not. Yeah. You know, and even President Bush came out looking okay. What does that tell you?
Yeah. When the worst national security failure in our history happened on his watch, despite multiple warnings.
Yeah, we didn't know that until later. But at that time, he was a bit of a comforting.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Well,
what makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
And also, Rudy was mayor during Trump's heyday back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, Trump acting like a mob boss, would he have sweetened up the mayor? Would he have, like, had, would Rudy have favors in on Trump back in the day? I mean, that makes sense the way Trump operated back then.
Yeah.
And Rudy in general.
Yeah, Travis, that question answers itself. Yeah. We see the unabated crime wave that was Donald Trump in New York business and real estate circles. And it continues to this day with how Alvin Bragg just handled the Alan Weisselberg.
That's
case.
Kind of why I
you
want
know
to go
what?
That way.
I don't know where I end and you begin, because this was the last story I wanted to ask you about. We go back
we
to New York.
We complete each other, Steph.
You complete me. Yes, so let's... Obviously, some might consider this a sweetheart deal. I'm sure you do, for a man who kept his lips shut and wouldn't implicate his old boss 6 months or less behind bars. He agreed in exchange to testify about the way the Trump organization rewarded him with untaxed corporate perks for years. His testimony could prove pivotal to convicting the corporation, which would be forced to pay huge fines, which could make it, you know, implode. Glenn, I know how you feel about it, and AG said the same thing yesterday. I don't like this, but Andrew Weissman, I saw yesterday, said I changed my mind on this. That I think Michael Cohen also said I think he will in the end seriously implicate Donald Trump. What's your feeling on all that?
Yeah, I have a different take. Like, let's take a step back, Steph, because Alan Weisselberg just pleaded guilty to 15 felonies that would have resulted in a de facto life term for him because of his age.
Yeah.
And the prosecutors said, one, you don't have to cooperate against Donald Trump, but you do have to testify against the Trump organization. It's a bit of a difference, a distinction without a difference. And two, if you tell the truth, which the defense will attack as, well, that means if you say anything the prosecutors want you to say, you can get as little as 100 days for your 15-year-long course of a criminal scheme to defraud in the first degree, stealing millions of dollars from New York City and state taxpayers. Steph, if there was a super secret double probation plan in place, Pomerantz and Dunn would not have resigned in protest saying Alvin Bragg killed the case against Donald Trump. Don't be fooled. Occam's razor. This is bad, bad, bad. This is a prosecution shop led by Alvin Bragg that, in my opinion, blinked and did the wrong thing.
Yeah. Can just quickly before we go, though, so he can't take the fifth only on crimes he's admitted guilt to? How does that play out in the upcoming trial?
Yeah. Once you plead guilty, your Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination regarding those crimes is extinguished. Why? Because you can never be charged with those crimes again, so you can be compelled to testify. But Steph, here's what everybody forgets. You can compel somebody to testify. but you can't compel them to tell the truth.
Yeah.
So he can get up there and lie and say, if they didn't bang me out for 15 felonies, they're certainly not going to do anything to me about a perjury charge. So, yes, this it's an academic exercise. Yay, we can compel him to testify, but we can't compel him to give up Donald Trump.
Okay. All right. Well, we shall see. To be continued. Mm-hmm. To be continued in person with those piercing blue eyes, September 10th.
Less
sexy
than a month.
Sexy Liberal DC. I know,
yeah.
Right? Okay. See you then, Glenn. And we'll talk
Love
to you next
Steph.
Week.
See you soon.
All right.
Mwah. All right.
Thanks, Glenn.
Mm-hmm. So much. 51.
Are you going to make him wear something tight like you make us
yes.
wear?
Yes. Yes. I have a spandex Captain America outfit. Oh, is he still listening?